Anesthesia's hand sought Richard's. He held it tightly. She smiled at him, squeezed his hand. And then they set foot on Knight's Bridge, and Richard began to understand darkness. Darkness as something solid and real, so much more than a simple absence of light. He felt it touch his skin, questing, moving, exploring, gliding through his mind. It slipped into his lungs, behind his eyes, into his mouth. With each step they took, the light of the candle became dimmer. He realized the same thing was happening to the Leather Woman's flashlight. It felt not so much as if the lights were being turned down, but as if the darkness were being turned up. Richard blinked and opened his eyes on nothing. Nothing but darkness, complete and utter. Sounds. A rustling, a squirming. Richard blinked, blinded by the night. The sounds were nastier, hungrier. Richard imagined he could hear voices, a horde of huge, misshapen trolls beneath the bridge. Something slithered past them in the dark.
"What's that?"
squeaked Anesthesia. Her hand was shaking in his. "Hush," whispered the woman. "Don't attract its attention."
"What's happening?"
whispered Richard. "Darkness is happening," said the Leather Woman, very quietly. "Night is happening. All the nightmares that have come out when the sun goes down since the cave times, when we huddle together in fear for safety and for warmth, are happening. Now," she told them, "now is the time to be afraid of the dark." Richard knew that something was about to creep over his face. He closed his eyes. It made no difference to what he saw or felt. The night was complete. It was then that the hallucination started. He saw a figure falling toward him through the night, burning, its wings and hair on fire. He threw up his hands. There was nothing there. Jessica looked at him with contempt in her eyes. He wanted to shout to her, tell her he was sorry. Place one foot after another. He was a small child, walking home from school at night down the one road with no streetlights. No matter how many times he did it, it never got any easier, never got any better. He was deep in the sewers, lost in a labyrinth. The beast was waiting for him. He could hear a slow drip of water. He knew the beast was waiting. He gripped his spear. Then a rumbling bellow deep in its throat from behind him. He turned. Slowly, agonizingly slowly, it charged at him through the dark. And it charged. He died. And kept walking. Slowly, agonizingly slowly, it charged at him over and over through the dark. There was a sputter and a flare so bright it hurt, making Richard squint and stagger. It was the candle flame in its lemonade bottle holder. He had never known how brightly a single candle could burn. He held it up, gasping and gulping and shaking with relief. His heart was pounding and shuddering in his chest. "We would appear to have crossed successfully," said the Leather Woman. Richard's heart was pounding in his chest so hard that, for a few moments, he was unable to talk. He forced himself to breathe slowly to calm down. They were in a large anteroom, exactly like the one on the other side. In fact, Richard had the strange feeling that it was the same room they had just left. Yet the shadows were deeper, and there were afterimages floating before Richard's eyes like those one saw after a camera flash. "I suppose," Richard said haltingly, "we weren't in any real danger. It was like a haunted house, a few noises in the dark, and your imagination does the rest. There wasn't anything to be scared of, was there?" The woman looked at him, almost pityingly, and Richard realized that there was nobody holding his hand.
Anesthesia?
From the darkness at the crown of the bridge came a gentle noise, like a rustle or a sigh. A handful of irregular quartz beads pattered down the curve of the bridge toward them. Richard picked one up. It was from the rat girl's necklace.
Are we better? We have to go back. She's...
The woman raised her flashlight, shone it across the bridge. Richard could see all the way across the bridge. It was deserted.
Where is she?
He asked. Gone, said the woman, flatly. The darkness took her.
We've got to do something,
said Richard, urgently.
Such as?
He opened his mouth, but this time he found no words. He closed it again. He fingered the lump of quartz, looked at the others on the ground.
She's gone, said the woman.
The bridge takes its toll. Be grateful it didn't take you too. Now, if you're going to the market, it's through here, up this way. She gestured toward a narrow passageway that rose up into the dimness in front of them, barely illuminated by the beam of her flashlight. Richard did not move. He felt numb. He found it hard to believe that the rat girl was gone, lost or stolen or strayed or... And harder to believe that the leather woman was able to carry on as if nothing at all out of the ordinary had happened, as if this were utterly usual. Anesthesia could not be dead.
He completed the thought.
She could not be dead, because if she were, then it was his fault. She had not asked to go with him. He held the quartz bead so tightly it hurt his hand, thinking of the pride with which she had shown it to him, of how fond he had become of her in the handful of hours that he had known her.
Are you coming?
Richard stood there in the darkness for a few pounding heartbeats. Then he placed the quartz bead gently into the pocket of his jeans. He followed the woman, who was still some paces ahead of him. As he followed her, he realized that he still did not know her name.